Scripture tonight is from Mark, Mark's Gospel, first chapter, Mark 1, and we'll read from verse 29. Mark chapter 1, beginning at verse 29, and we'll read through verse 39. This is, again, the inerrant and inspired word of our God. Give your close and careful attention to its reading. Mark 1. Beginning at verse 29. Now as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. Now at evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. This is the word of our God. Amen. Please be seated. Let's go once again to prayer. Lord our God, we do ask that you would again, by your Spirit, attend the exhortation of your word tonight. We pray that you would overcome weaknesses and hindrances of our flesh and mind, both to the one who speaks and to all who hear. We pray that indeed we might hear what your Spirit has in store for us. Show us the wonderful things in your word. And we pray that you would show us Christ. It's in his name that we ask. Amen. As I begin, what I have to say is probably for the older people. First, and more importantly, because the younger people won't have any real context for this, but in 1980, there was a country song. And the line of it, the line that everybody knows, they may not remember anything else of the song, but it says, "Looking for love in all the wrong places." The gist of the song is that there's this guy, of course, looking for love, and he keeps thinking that he finds it. And he keeps finding that, in fact, he didn't find love. But everywhere he looks for it is precisely the wrong place. And so he never finds it. Well, that's the gist of it. It dates me, maybe. My children listen to oldies country from time to time, so they may have heard it. But it's sort of a true representation of many of our great desires. There are things that we want, things that we have maybe expectations for. And yet we elevate those expectations and those desires to such a place that we never quite attain them because we are seeking them in the wrong way or in the wrong place or by the wrong means. Sadly, that's often the case in our spiritual life. Maybe not so much us as individuals, But maybe we know family members who have looked in some way for Christ and haven't found him. There are many who want some part of Christ or some part of what Christ offers, but they don't find what they're looking for because they're not looking for it in the right way. And that's what Mark, in this portion of his gospel record, sets out for us. In this portion of the scripture, in this portion of the text, verses 29 through 39, the Spirit, through the pen of Mark, who, as many gospel scholars understand it, although it's not stated in the text, believe that Mark was writing for Peter. Mark was writing his record of, or his account of his dealings with Christ. But however it is, the Spirit, through Mark's pen, teaches us in this text that many look for Christ, many look for Jesus for selfish motives. They look for Jesus to fulfill personal desire, yet they never find him because they fail to look for him where he will be found. Many look for Jesus for selfish motives or to fulfill personal desires, yet they never find him because they fail to look where he will be found. And so in considering the text before us tonight, I want us to look at it in two headings. First, we'll consider looking for Jesus according to our personal desire. And then, we'll consider looking for Jesus according to his personal revelation. Looking for Jesus according to our personal desire, and then looking for Jesus according to his personal revelation. And so, first before us tonight, as we consider this text, is looking for Jesus according to personal desire. Why do many people look for Christ? Why do many people look for Jesus? I think it's still true that most people in our country believe that Jesus was an historical figure. Whether they believe the gospel or not, whether they are Christians or not, whether they believe that God exists, they believe that Jesus was a true and historical figure. I think it's still true to this day that many people think that he was a good man. That there is something that we can learn, and a path even that we can follow, that was Jesus' path. So why do many look for him? Well, in our text, one of the first things that we see is that Christ himself was compassionate. He is compassionate. As soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was sick. The text would lead us to believe that she was very sick, not just a slight fever, not just some trifling illness on an evening of being up too late, but she lay sick with a fever. And so they came and told him at once, Mark says. But see the compassion in verse 31. Christ came and took her by the hand. Wasn't afraid. Now we know the stories in the gospel that Christ can speak and make people well across the cities, across the counties, across the country. Christ could speak it and it would happen. Christ could think it and it would take place. He could speak the words, the winds and the waves obeyed. He had that power. But yet Christ is compassionate. He is like us. He is a brother to us. He shares in our flesh. And so, when he was told about Peter's mother-in-law and her illness, he goes to her and takes her by the hand and raises her up. He's not afraid to touch. He's not afraid to be involved. And so, he had compassion. And immediately, the fever left. By his compassion, we see it time and again when Jesus at the tomb of Lazarus wept, when he felt the pain and the sorrow, when he felt the agony awaiting him before his crucifixion. Christ, in many ways, was like us, experiencing the emotions that we experience, including the love and the fellowship to his friend and disciple, Simon, by healing his mother-in-law. Why do people look for Jesus? Because he is compassionate. Because he cares. Why do many look for him? Because he's gracious. We see this in the next verses. At evening, when the sun had set, they, meaning those who were around, brought to him all who were sick and demon-possessed. The next verse says, the whole city was there. Now, whether that means every last one or not, we understand, even in colloquial language, what that means. You look out the door of the place where he was, and it was as though everybody from the city was standing there with someone who was sick or possessed. The sun had set. What was Jesus to do? We've already said he had compassion because he felt emotion. He felt the things that we feel. We know that not long after this, he climbs into a boat and falls asleep, weary from the work that he does. This is just the beginning of his ministry. And yet, he wakes up and heals the illnesses, heals the diseases, and casts out the demons. He healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. Beyond this, we know that he does supply our need. We ask for it. We asked for it even tonight. He supplies our needs. He gives us good gifts. Even this morning we read from Deuteronomy. We see it as Israel is preparing to enter the land. God tells his people that they are about to enter a land that is profitable, it's fruitful, it's abundant in its resources. You won't have to build houses. You won't have to dig wells. You won't have to plant vineyards and wait for them to produce. Everything is ready for you. And here it is. And in the reading this morning in Deuteronomy 7, if you are obedient and you obey my commands, I will bless you. You won't lack for provision. Your homes will grow and flourish. Why do many look for Christ? Why do many look for Jesus? Because he's compassionate. He's gracious. He does supply our needs and our wants. So what is it then that many want from him? Personal fulfillment. Selfish desire. Think about that rich young ruler who came, talked to Christ. Oh, how Christ pitied him when he left because he was not far from the kingdom. And yet he didn't want to let go of the things of this world. Why do many want Christ? Why do many want him? Even in our day, how many books have been written about how you can become rich and prosperous by being a Christian? That's the whole premise of the ministry for some. I think I've told you this before, maybe not in the context of standing here and exhorting you, but periodically when I had access to it, I would sometimes check into some of those Christian cable programs. And there was one preacher, one televangelist, I remember saying, if you want a bigger house, if you want a better car, if you want a bigger boat, that was the premise. If you want this, if you want the luxuries of this world, then he talked about how they ought to pray. Send him some money along the way, that would help. Many want Christ because of what they perceive that he can do for them. Come to Christ and he'll fix your marriage. Come to Christ and he'll make your children beautiful. Come to Christ. Fill in the blank. What is it that you want? And we use Christ as a good luck charm. What do many want from him? They want the personal satisfaction. They want their own personal fulfillment and their own selfish desire. Now, God is gracious. God is merciful. There are some who seek him from false motives, who may find him. But that's in spite of their looking in all the wrong places. Some may find him. Sadly, many won't. Because they're looking to fulfill their desires. They're looking for Jesus according to their personal desire. In the second place, then, as we consider this text, we'll consider looking for Jesus according to his personal revelation. Christ did all these miracles. Christ showed his power. He revealed himself in wondrous ways. He healed the sick where doctors couldn't do it. He cast out the demons where none of the spiritual leaders of their day could do it. He did this, but it was work. And so in his example, we are taught how to look for him, how to look for him according to the way he revealed himself to us. He first reveals himself to us by his own personal example. After a long night, after the evening, or after the sun had set, and then he stayed up late healing many and casting out many demons, Christ woke up early. In the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went to bed a long while after sunset and got up a long while before sunrise. And he went out to a solitary place and prayed. Christ, the Son of God, God made flesh, went out and prayed. First thing, the first way that we are to seek for Christ, he teaches us here by his own example. What do you need? Pray for it. What did Christ need? Tempted to say he didn't need anything. And yet he obviously did. He needed communion with his Father. He needed wisdom. He needed strength. And so he teaches us first in his own example how we should seek him in prayer, communion with God the Father, communion with Christ in prayer, strength for the day, strength to stand against trials, strength to stand against the temptation. Do you think that it was not trying to Christ to know that many were coming to him, seeking for the temporal blessing and benefit, and yet not wanting any of the eternity that he had to offer? Knowing that he would die for the sake of many. even many who would take part in his crucifixion. Do you think that Christ needed strength to carry on this ministry and mission for 3 years? The scriptures teach us that he did. He wasn't frail like we are, but all the more need for us then. If Christ teaches us by his example that he needed it, how much more do we? And so we look for Christ first as he has shown us, as he has taught us in his own example. Seeking wisdom, seeking strength to stand against trial, and seeking communion with the Father. But then we are to look for Christ in the personal revelation of his word. Now, Christ, after Simon and the other disciples found him, he said, "Everyone's looking for you." Christ didn't say, "Well, good, let's go back and let's go have breakfast with them. And then maybe we'll get on our way sometime around noon. We'll start out slow and easy." His response was, "Let's go to these other towns over here. I have more work to do." What was the work that he had to do? He says, "Let's go into the next towns in order that I might preach there. Because for this purpose, I have come forth." When I say that we look for Christ, we look for Jesus according to the revelation of his word, I mean the words that he speaks to us, not only here, but as Christ would have us hear his voice in the preaching of his word. In Mark, Christ himself was the one who was preaching physically, firsthand. In our day, we don't have Christ standing physically present among us. But we do have his voice. We do have his words. Romans 10 teaches us that it's Christ's voice that we hear in the faithful preaching. And so as Christ himself in Mark went out and preached in Galilee, revealing himself, revealing the will of God for their salvation, so Christ to our day speaks in the preaching. And so how are we to look for Christ? We look for him according to his example. We look for him according to his word as it is preached. Now we have the fullness of God's revelation. Hebrews tells us that now we have Christ. He has revealed himself to us in these last days, where he spoke to us by the prophets in diverse ways. Now we have Christ. Revelation is complete. Christ was beginning the revelation of himself in the beginning of Mark's gospel. We have it in a way that they didn't. They got to see Christ. But remember that they were there, many of them, for the personal satisfaction or the personal fulfillment or the personal benefit. They didn't all recognize who Christ was. They didn't recognize that this is Jesus, the one who was promised. As Matthew's gospel starts, here is the one who fulfills the covenant promises to Abraham and to David. Right? Matthew's gospel begins with the genealogy, and we come to these words, "the son of David, the son of Abraham." Jesus is the fulfillment of the covenant promises. They didn't maybe recognize, many of them, most of them, we learn in the scripture, didn't understand that Jesus was the fulfillment of the covenant promises. But Jesus was revealing himself to the people. Notice going back to verse 34, When he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. There are little phrases like that that we come across in many of the Gospels, in the Gospels where he didn't allow the demons to speak, or he hushed them up, or he said, now is not the time, be quiet. Christ was revealing himself. The demons knew who he was, but the people didn't. The demons were not allowed to speak because Christ was revealing himself to the people. And he did that by preaching. And so how do we look for Jesus according to his personal revelation? We follow his example, but we follow his teaching. We follow him in his word. We seek him there in the preaching. That's the most accessible way for us. But not only in the preaching, but the preaching is a primary means. But not only in the preaching, in the reading of the word, and so we should be taking it up in our own homes, in our own families, because there is the fullness of Christ's revelation. Where do you look for Jesus? Why do you look for Jesus? How do you look for Jesus? These are questions that we should be asking ourselves. Children, these are questions that you should be asking yourself. These are questions that you should be asking your parents. How do I see Jesus? How do I learn about him? Where can I find him? Do you ask your parents that in your home? Do you come to worship hoping to hear Jesus, expecting to hear Jesus? This is the chief place that he speaks to us. And yet, too often, many people come to church the way that many came to Christ in these first years, to see if I can get something out of this. In Paul's letters, Paul emphasizes that in salvation, what is accomplished is our reconciliation with God. We are made one. We are reunited. We are reconciled, made right with God. Why do we seek Jesus? We should seek Jesus in order to be made right with God. Yes, he might heal our marriages. He might heal our weaknesses, our infirmities. He might give to us wealth. Maybe. But if that's why you're seeking after Jesus, you're looking for him in all the wrong places. Look for Jesus according to his word. Look for Jesus in the preaching of the word. Look for Jesus to reconcile us to God, to make us whole, to make us right. The other stuff he might add as a token of his blessing. But that is not the reason that we are to look for Jesus. Many looked for Jesus. They wanted whatever they could get out of him on a personal basis. They looked for Jesus for personal satisfaction. And when he wasn't there, they sought after him. This wasn't the only time. Through the gospel, we find that there were other occasions when Christ would have to try to escape the crowds of people who were seeking after him because they were hungry, because they wanted something that he could give to them. And yet, how Christ sorrowed for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. They didn't know that they had found the true shepherd. Some, I'm sure, found later that this was the true shepherd. And how great was their rejoicing in that day. Are we like the many? Are we like the crowds? Are we like many of the people in our own day who seek after Jesus for whatever we can get out of him? Or are we seeking Jesus where he might be found, where he has revealed himself in his word, in the reading of it, in the preaching of it? Christ says he came for the purpose to preach. He came as a preacher to reveal God's will for us. We talk about Christ being our prophet, priest, and king. And what was it that the prophet did? Children, I think some of you know the catechism question. How did Christ execute the office of a prophet? By revealing to us God's will for our salvation, right? We understand that. Christ was a preacher. Christ revealed God's will for our salvation. Yet many missed it. Many in our day miss it because we don't look for salvation. We aren't looking to be reconciled to God. We haven't felt our need of it. Are you like the crowds here as Christ began his ministry, seeking after him for personal fulfillment, for selfish desire, for false or vain motives? Or are you seeking after Christ where he would be found? In his word and in his example, a fellowship and communion with God the Father. Brothers and sisters, I encourage you and exhort you. I pray for you, and children, I plead that you will look for Christ, that you will look for Jesus, not for personal gain, for personal fulfillment, for personal desire, but that you will look for Jesus according to his personal revelation, in his example, and in his word. Amen. Let's pray. Lord our God, we do pray that you would open our eyes to Christ as he is revealed to us in his word, in your word. We pray that you would make us to know him, that you would make us to love him, that we would serve him more and more, and that in Christ we might be reconciled to you. There are many benefits that we might derive from our relationship with the divine God. But we ask that our chief desire would be to know you, to love you, and to serve you, as you have revealed yourself to us in your word. This is our great desire as your children. And so work in us, open our eyes, that we might find Christ as you have revealed him to us by your word and spirit. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.